This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor and Dennis from the Glam Band filling in right now. Let's go to the great state of Florida for the greatest football player.
Are you sure? Is it an SOS?
Let me get it back on the phone real quick.
Okay. In the meantime, come out of the Lakeshore. Don Davey will be joining us in just a second. We had him on, and then Khan, of course, did something. Boy, you ever have a fill-in with your band?
Is this one of these things in the radio? They stretch it out.
Just... Hey, I love your jersey, man. That's from the Gamblers. Talk about that.
Oh, I guess we're good to go.
All right. Mr. Davey.
Hey, John. How you doing, buddy?
Outstanding. Welcome to our show. I'll tell you what. This is no lie. Just when I mentioned that you're coming on my Facebook, people went crazy. They know a lot more about you than I know about you. I didn't know you were a four-time Academic All-American to begin with until Brian Johnson actually texted me last night.
Cool.
He told me Don's entire story. Well, Brian's from Manitowoc. Yes. And you, that city, that whole community is so proud of you, Don. I mean, they still are. You know, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, I appreciate it. Great time. I've had a great childhood growing up there. It's just a really cool community, a great place to grow up. You know, that whole sense of the parents, the teachers, the coaches that I had growing up along the way. I mean, they really set the stage for all the success I had in college at University of Wisconsin, in the classroom, and then, of course, throughout my professional career and throughout the rest of my life. So I'm super proud of being from Manitowoc. It'll always be my hometown. Wisconsin will always be home, and Manitowoc will always be my hometown.
So from a guy that, like me, that spent over 20 years in politics, it sounds like a pretty good
Two Rivers.
It sounds like a pretty good foundation to run for something, right? I mean, move back here, you know, mayor, senator. You think about that, Don?
Politics isn't my thing. Okay. I'll still leave that to you guys, to your politicians. Happy to support the people, right. But that's not something I want to get into.
No, that's great to say such nice things about Manitowoc, Two Rivers, that whole community, and you're right about that. For everything from the families to the teachers.
They're proud of their people. Oh, yeah. They're proud of their people that kind of leave and become successful.
Right.
Very proud.
I tell you now, later in life, here I am in my 50s and a father of five daughters. That really stuck with me. As far as not only parenting my kids, but being active as a coach and a teacher and a mentor. I'm very active in my little community in Atlantic Beach here in Florida, not only with my own daughters, but with their classmates and their teammates. And, you know, I teach a coding class at my daughter's school. I've taught CCD for 25 years in the community.
Wow.
And like I said, that's kind of my way of paying back. I feel like I had so many great people in my life growing up in the Manitowoc community that I want to make my community here in Florida a great place for other kids to grow up as
that
well.
That is so
phenomenal.
Awesome.
Yeah, just awesome.
Don
we got
Davey
Dennis
Lee's
here
gentlemen.
from the Glam Band.
Wow.
The male vocalist of the year in the state of Wisconsin. He's a rock star.
Somebody had to do it.
But he's the greatest football fan that I've ever met in my life. Most knowledgeable. Go ahead, Dennis.
Don, you're incredible, brother. I got to tell you, man, you are on the Mount Rushmore of Manitowoc residents, my friend. So I just wanted to let you know that. But you know, how do people treat you to this day, as opposed to, you know, back in the day when, you know, as an active player being in the community and whatnot? I know you spent some time, obviously, you're in Florida and whatnot. But when you come home and whatever, what's it like for you?
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, for 20 years we had a place in Manitowoc. My wife Kristen's from Manitowoc, obviously. Her family lives up there, all the extended family. So after I retired from the Jaguars, we bought a log cabin on 40 acres just north of Manitowoc on Q. That was our summer home when the kids were little. We'd go spend all summer up there to kind of show the kids where mom and dad grew up. We'd spend 2 weeks up there over the Christmas every year to show the kids snow and be with grandma and the aunts and uncles and cousins and all that stuff. I mean, that's Really, until a few years ago, that was our Christmas tradition with the, with all of our daughters, and wanted them to experience the way we grew up. So although we decided to stay in Florida full-time, Manitowoc has been a big part of my daughter's lives as well. And the community's always been great to me. We're out and about, and, you know, we go to Culver's in Manitowoc, and we go to Bernstein's downtown with the kids, and I'm constantly running into people and friends of my parents and people that I knew growing up, and everybody's so welcome and warm and inviting that it still very much feels like home when we're up there.
You took the question out of my mouth. I was saying, where do you take the kids to? Do you go to Lates or some of those old?
Well, that Bernstein's you can't miss.
Where do you bring the kids to? Or as far as like, this is where I used to go when I was growing up here.
It is all the old stomping grounds. We go to Lates, we go to Bernstein's, we go to Culver's. We'd take them on the Fat Seagull in downtown Manitowoc, all those great places.
Fat Seagull's great. By the way, it's the custard that unites us.
The cheese.
The big cow, the whole thing is just amazing for Manitowoc. Hey, Don, one thing, though, we were talking about earlier, we could not remember where you guys used to have summer training camp at Wisconsin. Where would you guys go?
So we went out to Holy Name Seminary when I was at Wisconsin. In fact, one of my fondest memories, my father drove me when I was a freshman to drop me off at the University of Wisconsin. And of course, training camp starts long before the school year starts. So he dropped me off at Holy Name Seminary. Boy, I remember, you know, being so nervous and, excited and, you know, it's kind of for any father, you're kind of kissing goodbye to your son and sending him off into the real world, into college. It was a very, very touching moment between my father and I when he let me off, but he knew I was in good hands, right? He kind of saw the coaching staff there and how they embraced the players and how I'd be part of that family going forward. And I got a great picture of my dad and I kind of saying goodbye when he dropped me off at Holy Name Seminary and to start my college career.
And was your mother praying for some divine intervention that maybe you would take the seminary track?
Yeah, exactly. You know, my mom, we had five kids in the family and four boys and one girl. And mom always said she had to get a priest out of the family because the old Catholic tradition was that hey, if one of your kids becomes a priest or a nun, then you get a free ride into heaven.
Exactly.
So, that's like, your dad needs a free ride to heaven, so one of you better become a priest or a nun.
So did any of your brothers come through?
None of us.
Just saying there's a chance.
But now I got five spots reserved at the convent.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
At least I haven't told them that yet. You know, it's like you go to high school, you go to college, and then you go right into the convent.
That's right.
And become a nun.
Best looking nuns in the convent.
Yeah. This segment is brought to you by Burkle's One Block Over. We had Kevin on earlier, and he said that his dad and your dad, because I was talking about his dad, I really enjoyed his dad. And he said his dad and your dad were friends. I guess your dad was in sales or something?
Yeah, they were. My dad was a traveling salesman. He sold sandpaper. He called them industrial abrasives, but he sold sandpaper for 3M out of Minneapolis. And his territory was all of northern Wisconsin and upper Michigan. And he traveled that whole territory going to suppliers, distributors, manufacturers, whatever, selling 3M sandpaper. And Kevin Burkle's dad was one of his contemporaries, and they used to work together and hang out. In fact, great story about my dad, too. He passed away a few years ago, so I like reminiscing about these stories. But he scheduled his road trips so that Friday mornings he'd be covering the Green Bay territory, be calling on his customers up there. And so he'd always get he'd be in Green Bay about 11 a.m., and he had it timed perfectly, so he'd come in the locker room with the Packers. You know, our security guards, all those guys, our equipment guys knew him. And said, hey, Mr. Davey, come on in. And he would sit with us. We'd get done with our morning meetings around 11 a.m., and we'd have about a half an hour to screw around in the locker room before we'd head out to the Friday shortened practice. And he would sit, and he'd hang out with me and James Campen and Matt Brock and Ronnie Holmstrom and all the guys. And I'm always so grateful to those guys. I tell them every time I see them. They were warm and inviting to him. Obviously, it's a big thrill for my dad to be hanging out in the Packer locker room. He was a lifelong Packer fan.
That's really cool.
But the guys embraced him like one of us, and that was those Friday mornings were, again, those are very, very special memories between me and my father.
That's fantastic.
That's a great, great story.
Great story.
That's great memory. I bet your shop teacher loved you as a student because your dad would get samples. Bring in some of that 60 grit.
So that's where you got your true grit from, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
That's a great story. Well, Don, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the night you were drafted, you had your family in the locker room, didn't you?
I did. I get a point. This is bringing up lots of great memories. I was in Manitowoc the day of the draft, and you know, the whole family was home, my siblings and my mom and dad, and we were kind of hanging out waiting on draft day. My dad actually took the call. He phone rang. Dad picked up the phone, and it was Tom Brotts. And Tom Brotts called, and you know, I'll never forget the look on my dad's face when he said, "Yeah, hang on, Tom, I'll get him for you." And he's covering up the phone, and he's looking at me, and his eyes are so wide. He's got a big smile. He's like, "Donnie, you'll never believe it. It's the Green Bay Packers. It's the Green Bay Packers." And he handed me the phone, and they told me they were taking me in the third round. And to this day, I have two records with the Green Bay Packers, right? I wasn't certain of Reggie White or a Brett Favre or a superstar on the field like those guys, but I do still have two records with the Green Bay Packers. I am the fastest draft pick to ever arrive in Lambeau Field because I was in Manitowoc, and it took me exactly 18 minutes from the time I hung up the phone to get me up to Lambeau Field.
You made it from Manitowoc to Green Bay in 18 minutes?
That's wow. Pretty good. I love it.
I showed up with the largest entourage ever. Not only was it me and my parents and my family, but everybody I knew from Manitowoc jumped in their cars and vans and drove up to Green Bay. And all my college buddies drove up from Madison. It's like I must have had 50 people show up.
I remember that. I think that is one of the – I can't even imagine something. I mean, I got – Dennis and I both looked at each other. We just had goosebumps when you talked about your dad taking the call from the Green Bay Packers to tell your dad that they're drafting his son. That is amazing.
Well, again, as a father now, right, with my daughters, and my daughters have had lots of success academically and athletically, but, you know, the idea of being there and, you know, for one of my daughters being drafted in the WNBA or something like that, I have an appreciation now for how special of a moment that was for my dad back then. And but you, John, you guys in the press and everybody and Bill Jarson and all you guys, you all sitting waiting for Vinny Clark. Vinny Clark was a first-round pick from Ohio State.
That's right.
He was flying in, and he hadn't showed up. And all of a sudden, Davey shows up with 50 people in there, and they're like, "Who the hell is this guy?" It's like we're waiting for a short black guy to come in from Ohio State, and here Don Davey shows up with all these.
That is correct. Oh, what a great story. Don Davey, please stick around. We got to send it to a one-minute break. So awesome having you on here, buddy, for the Burkle's One Block Over Packers segment. Don Davey, our special guest, back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Don Davey, former Green Bay Packer, Wisconsin Badger, and Manitowoc Chip. So I had a lengthy conversation with your good buddy, James Campen, last night. In fact,
listen, good buddy is a pretty strong word.
Yeah. He actually was getting on a plane this morning, flying from Florida to Green Bay, which is what you're going to be doing. But he told me, he says, Mino, you got to ask him why I gave him the nickname Snickers.
Well, you got that backwards. His nickname is Snickers. So the Snickers story, the famous Snickers story with James Campen. So probably what, 93? You guys probably know better than I do. What was the year? Remember, we went to Detroit and Brett Favre found Sterling Sharp in the end zone. Last play of the game, we beat him in Detroit. Yep. Great game. It's probably 93 season. We're playing at Detroit. And that was. You know, this was when Holmgren came in and took over the team, and we were starting our ascension into becoming not only a playoff team, but then eventually winning a Super Bowl with that group of guys. And it was, you know, it was Brett Favre and Sterling Sharp and Reggie White and James Campen and And me and Lester Archambault, it's like we had a really good group of guys. But we were just starting to figure out how good we could be. Anyway, during that game, I was playing quite a bit. And James and I were our good buddies. He kind of took me on the right wing. He was a center. I was a defensive lineman. We'd go on against each other on one-on-one pass rush. And you know, to his credit, I mean, he really took me under my wing, and he showed me a lot of things. And you can learn a lot from an offensive lineman, right, as to what their strategies are and how they're trying to defeat you and all that stuff. Anyway, our wives became friends. We were really good buddies, and to this day, one of my closest friends from the NFL. So we're playing at Detroit, and it was a very close game throughout the first half, right? And I was playing really well. I had a couple tackles and a sack, and I think in a fumble recovery in the first. And so we're in and coming in halftime, and halftime's only 12 minutes. And come in at halftime, and coaches kind of do their thing, and I'm sitting in my locker, and I'm tired because I've been playing a lot. And James comes up to me, and he says, "Listen, I've been watching you, and look out for this." And you know, Lomas Brown, when he gives this signal, he'd look out for the double team here and there, and whatever. I say, "Hey, thanks, man. Thanks, Camp." And he's like, "Can I get you anything? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Whatever." He said, "No, I'm good. I'm just kind of catching my breath here before we go back out for the second half." And he's like, "Hey," he's like, "All right, you good? You sure you're not hungry? You sure you don't want anything?" I said, no, I'm fine, man. I'm good." He's like, "Do you know those box lunches they gave us on the bus for after the game?" I peeked in mine, and there's a giant freaking king-size Snickers in there. "Can I have your Snickers before you go back?" He's like, "I'm starving. I'm sitting on the game, and I'm starving, and I already ate mine. Can I get your Snickers?" And I'm like, that's what's on your mind right now. It's like we're in the middle of this like divisional game again, trying to stop Barry Sanders, and you know, all you can think about is stealing my freaking Snickers bar out of my box lunch. So anyway, every time I see him now, I always make sure I have a Snickers in my pocket to hand it to him.
He was classic. Snicker satisfies.
He was on IR. He had tore his hamstring from his bone. Oh. That was the end of last season. So he was on the sidelines, and he was trying to do his best, but he was just during the course of the game. And he's a big 320-pound guy, and he's starving. All he can think about is how to steal. It wasn't just me. He went to every other guy in the team, too. I think he got like a dozen Snickers from everybody. Priorities.
Okay, let me say something, though. I got to travel twice with you guys on the team plane, okay, when I was doing the Lindy Show. And you'd walk on, and there's your seat. There's this bag. I'm like, well, what's this? And it's loaded with giant, like, Snickers and all these candy bars. Remember that, Don? On the plane. And both times I had to sit next to Hank Bulla, and both times Hank was your coach, your line coach. And he both saying, "Mino, let me have your bag of candy bars." I'm like, why? Coach goes, I'm meeting my grandkids. They're going to visit. Okay. So we're going to Detroit. So I thought, well, okay. He can have. So a couple weeks later, we're going to New York to play the Jets. Okay. And he goes, "Mino, let me have your bag of candy bars." I go, "What, your grandkids are again?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "They're coming in New York?" He goes, "Yeah." Total lie.
Let me
he
have
He just
them.
Wanted my whole bag of candy bars.
Right.
Give me your milk money.
It's like, that seems so cool that it was a big bag of candy. And Hank Bulla took mine both times.
Hank Bully, more like.
Yes. Remember Hank Bulla?
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Don, give us some. I'm going to throw out some names. Give us a thumbnail sketch. Okay?
Good.
Bryce Pop.
Bryce Pop. You know, big old country farm boy, right?
Yep.
From the middle of nowhere in Iowa, grew up on a farm. But just a hell of a player and just a wonderful human being. Great guy, Christian guy, family guy. Again, he was 1 year older than me. I was an outside linebacker, but, you know, he worked with us at the defensive line and pass rush drills and those type things. Again, he and I bonded right away, kind of similar upbringing. From the Midwest, you know, Christian people, family people. And it was really cool to me. Like, when you get drafted in the NFL, like, your vision of the NFL as a kid and even in college is you don't really know what it is, but you think they're all these, you know, what, superstars and mega millionaires, and everyone's driving Porsches and Mercedes and all that stuff. And it was very comforting to come to the Packers, number one, but then with that group of guys that we had on the team, they were just regular guys like me, right? A lot of them came from small towns. A lot of them were very family oriented. A lot of them were a lot more like me than I thought they'd be.
That's
in
cool.
The NFL. And Bryce probably personified that. Again, to this day, one of my closest friends in the NFL, he still lives from the NFL, still lives up there in the Midwest. He had a great NFL career, but then he's gone on to coach in college. He's done really, really well and has six kids now. I think three of his kids are married. And just a a wonderful human being and someone that you'd want to be friends with, and I'd have no problem with any of my daughters finding someone like Bryce Pop to be a boyfriend or to marry.
No question about it. Well, Don, we're going to wrap it up here pretty quick, but you're coming to Green Bay, right?
I am. I got some stuff I got to finish up at work here down in Florida today. I got a flight tonight flying into Green Bay. This is an annual trip for me. I always come up to the last home game every year. I've got a brother in Fort Myers who has two high school age boys. Ever since they were little, ever since they were, you know, grade schoolers, we always bring them up to the last home Packer game. Show them the snow. Hopefully it's, I hear it's going to be cold. I don't know if we're going to get snow or not, but they're Florida boys and they're born and raised in Florida. So we like to bring them up there and let them freeze their butts off in the
all right.
Stadium.
We'll deliver.
They're now senior. The oldest is a senior now. We've been doing this for probably 15 years now. And one's a senior, one's a sophomore. They're bringing a bunch of buddies up there. We're staying at the Tundra Lodge, so we can
fun.
Let them play at the water park.
Right.
And we'll be tailgating, going to the Packer Pro Shop, doing the stadium tour, and obviously going to the game on Sunday. So
okay.
Looking forward to a great weekend.
We can deliver two out of the three. We can't deliver the snow, but we can deliver a victory and the cold.
That's a guarantee. Don David, I can't thank you enough. What a class act. You always have been. Not to blow smoke, but... thanks for being such a great guy and a great friend, buddy.
John, you too. I'll return the favor. You were one of the guys. All the media were wonderful to me when I was up in Green Bay, but you in particular. We got to develop a close friendship then, and happy to help out now, and great to see you're still up there in the area doing great things. So.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great trip up coming back home.
All right, guys. Go Pack Go.
Go, buddy. All right, Don Davey, that's awesome. When we come back, we got some live music from the...
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, it was great having Don Davey on for our Football Friday. What a gentleman. What a class act.
Great story.
Great story. I wish we could talk to him for an hour. We're going to get him back. Just talk. And one thing James Campa told me, this is a cool thing. He's a financial advisor now, which is very important because so many guys have gone broke from.
Right.
Okay. But so Campin, he told this story where he's a big guy, you know, Campin probably, whatever. And he hates flying commercial, you know, regular. Mm-hmm. So he always tries to upgrade to first class.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he has more room and he's kind of. And Davey got so mad at him for doing that he went through for like a 5-year period how much more he paid for that, and he showed him the investments he would have made. Sure. It was like $80,000.
Yeah.
And he was mad at him. Why would you wait? And he says, Don Davey could like own an NFL team. He's so successful and he drives an $8,000 car.
That's the spirit.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Gotta love that, man.
Yes. Now, Brian from the Heights does not drive an $8,000 car.
But he flies up front. I've seen him.
Was it a $5,000 car?
Time. I think so.
That's between 5 and 8, right?
That's it.
Brian from the Heights in the house. Great having you here. You give Ashley the day off?
Yeah, she asked for the morning off, so I figured I better...
Wait, do we wear her out or what?
You got a big weekend coming up. I mean, the Bears are coming into town, and that's going to be a great weekend. You guys have great service and food every day, but, I mean, what's going on this weekend at your place?
That's it. It's a big deal.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's NFC North. It's
right.
It still means a lot.
It does.
So to the fans, to the players, to the community.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, we're in the playoffs. Yeah, the Bears are not. But
right.
When it comes down to bad blood.
Success.
You don't want to give Bear fans. You don't want to give them
football.
Even the slightest thing to have over you.
Heck, keep your foot on that neck.
Absolutely. Because, man, I still hearken back to the days of the Forrest Gregg, Mike Ditka, Charles Martin, yada, yada, yada. Can he still from that rivalry? And that's never left me.
No.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just,
That's competitive spirit right there. That's,
yeah.
So, yeah, we're hoping to have a big crowd tonight and tomorrow, and we'll be open Sunday. We're open about 3 o'clock for dinner for those leaving the Lambeau to come back down to their hotels and hang out and come visit us at Heights.
You know, I told Ashley last time we were here, and I had that lunch when I stopped down when you were there, and Jim and I bought the... By the way, did you ever get a thank you from Nikki or anybody for the gift cards we gave?
Oh, yeah.
Have you? She didn't say anything to me.
Okay.
No. But anyway, I'm
that's because she knows who bought them.
Mm, yeah, but I got to tell you, that sandwich I had was phenomenal. It was that grilled chicken.
Oh, the Nashville.
Yes, the Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is going to be on the menu.
That
It's going to stay.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
That's a great set. We have a lot of great sandwiches. And my wife had, we have dinners as well, but I mean, I just...
And that's what we like to do with the feature plate. So we have the main staple items on the menu, but every 3 weeks we do a feature of one or two items. And if people like it and it sticks, and we get a lot of sales off that, then it'll stay. But that's what Chef likes to do. Like every 3 weeks, just take a couple items and rotate it through just so it's not so stagnant.
And folks, you got to try, I say this every time, the sweet potato fries with that special dip. It's amazing. You won't give me the recipe.
Still not happening.
All right. Give yourself a plug, Brian. Give yourself a plug.
Well, Heights Pub and Parlor, 217 North Washington Street. Come visit us this weekend. Packers, Bears, always a big weekend. Go Pack. Thank you guys for the support. Always appreciate being on the show here and
thank you for supporting you guys.
And another thing, though, if people want an incredibly cool 140-year-old room to have a party or something like that upstairs.
Great point. Building's 134 years old, but we got some of the best space upstairs for your private events, so... You know, anything you got to throw a private party for, we're here to take care of you.
Outstanding. Brian from the Heights Pub and Parlor, thanks for everything you've done for us.
Oh, appreciate you guys.
And thanks for buying that and keeping it what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's competitive, but, you know, there's just, you know, the TGI Fridays or whatever these other places are. The ambiance in there is just, it's a step back. And you compliment it with the service, and that bar is unbelievable. Yeah. It's just a beautiful bar.
I appreciate that thought because chains are chains. You know, your TGIs and your Buffalo Wild Wings and things like that. You know, people want unique. You know, even with the draft coming up, all these fans that come to town, they're going to want something unique to the city. So
outstanding.
Glad that Heights could be.
Keep it rocking, brother.
Are you booked upstairs for the draft?
Not yet. Whoa. So, hey, if anyone is looking for the best spot to hold a draft.
Operators are standing by to take your call.
And we'll promote that. Brian, thank you again for everything you do.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you very much. Time for the Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series, which is why we are all here. Dennis?
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gentlemen grifters are behind us. If you're on Facebook Live, you can see these lovely gentlemen. And if not, think really good. If you're listening to the radio or the Civic Media app, just use your imagination.
Y'all ever been referred to as lovely gentlemen before? Just curious.
And talented. Forgive me, gentlemen. It's a new year. English language is new to me, but the gentlemen grifters are in
the
house.
Who's going to step up to the mic? Mike?
Tell us about you.
Yeah, who's the leader here?
Khan gave him a microphone that's 4 feet high.
Yeah, thanks for setting it up. Yeah.
Let's play show and tell with these gentlemen here.
All right, mine is Mike Goodwin. Not really a leader here. We kind of all do our parts. We all do singing. We all do instruments. We've been doing this for a few years. We started around the pandemic, kind of doing things over the internet, passing back and forth before we could really get together in person and not infect everybody.
Well, I like the fact, like we said, this is the most unique, different, not unique, but tell us about the different instruments you have in your trio.
Yeah, well, I've got, we call this a guitar. You don't see these too often.
Back to you, Bob.
Slow down a little bit. It's John Minor.
All right, wow, here we go.
Over here we got a mandolin, and then we have a violin, a fiddle, I have no idea, some four-stringed instrument.
Oh, Vanda fiddle.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to ask you this. That cap you're wearing, is that a Lake Superior cap?
It sure is.
Yeah. But why? What's the reference for that?
I'm from the UP. I'm from Marquette.
You're from Marquette?
Yeah.
You couldn't get into a good town?
Yeah.
No, I went to school at Michigan Tech, so I had to get out.
Oh, you did go to a good school. I'm from Negaunee.
Oh, okay.
We didn't care much for Marquette kids.
We didn't care much for you.
I was just going to say that.
I will separate you guys.
Marquette were the rich kids.
So you guys, you're young. Been playing since you're a little kid. How'd you get into the... And violin for... That's a cool instrument. Were you in the high school choir course? What'd you do?
Yeah. No, I played in heavy metal bands when I was a kid. And it shows.
Yeah, look at this guy.
And, are you serious?
He could be in the Marines.
I'm serious.
You're the most clean-cut kid I've ever had in it. Look at these guys. Now, if he said it...
This dude.
Yeah, he was in, like, Death Punch or something.
Yeah, all of them.
He was the choir kid, actually.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. Okay, you guys, hide it well. All right. How'd you get into this... And I think that's cool that you play a violin.
I tried a lot of different instruments, and they kept shrinking. I started with drums, and then it went to piano and guitar, And I'm finally down to a fiddle. Maybe I'll get down to a harmonica or something that's even smaller at some point. But I think I'll stick with fiddle.
You can just do what I do, is just do vocals.
Well, that's the thing, Dennis.
When you get to my point, that you're not even a musician anymore, so careful.
But you're a big advocate for people trying different things in music.
Oh, absolutely. Right? It's great for from a learning standpoint. And
well, these guys are so talented. They can pick up an instrument in 2 weeks. They're like a pro.
Well, wait till you hear us.
How about you, choir boy?
So my name's Chris Lalonde.
Hi, Chris.
I picked up mandolin about a decade ago, about 10 years. I actually worked with the guitarist for Burnt Toast and Jam.
Yes. We had him in here, haven't we?
Not yet.
No? Okay.
I worked with him back in the day at a fiberglass shop, and I didn't even know what a mandolin was until I worked at that fiberglass shop.
Sounds male to me. Wait, what? What are we talking about again?
What other instruments have you played?
So I started on bass. I taught myself bass when I was 12 and then guitar when I was 14.
How does that translate to the mandolin?
So this is actually tuned just like a fiddle or an upside-down bass. And actually, one of my buddies was like, oh, yeah, it's tuned just like an upside-down bass. And I just stared at it for, like, a good solid hour flipping all those scales around in my head.
That's scrambled eggs to me. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Learning it backwards. Sort
pretty
of like,
cool.
Right? That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I thought about it like an upside-down bass for about a month.
Then what happened?
Then it turned into a mandolin.
Okay, that's the spirit.
Yeah, and shout out to Andrew Madsen. He's a luthier down in Neenah. He made this beautiful instrument.
Oh, wow. Andrew is awesome. We got to get him in, too. Oh,
he made that?
Yeah.
All right, you guys, what kind of music do you play? Like, what would be your genre?
Bluegrass primarily, but we dabble in a lot of different things.
All right.
Don't you have a big festival in Marquette, like by Ore Dockers? A big bluegrass thing in the summers?
They're too big for that.
That's... Are you? Oh, okay.
I think you said, don't use guys' hats.
But bluegrass is big in the UP, isn't it?
They got a blues festival.
Festival. Yes. Yeah.
But that's huge.
Yes, it's very big. Yeah. So let's hear a little something.
All right.
Tell us about what it is that you're going to play.
The Gentlemen Grifters.
All right, here's a song that's, I guess this is bluegrass, but it's very ragtime inspired.
I love it.
All right.
That's the best.
Tell the bartender, tell the queen, tell everybody in between. Shout it out from the tops of the trees. Good times are here again. It's time to shake these blues. Put down your phone and turn off the news. Get yourself a pair of dancing shoes. Let this little song be your excuse. So tell the bartender, tell the queen, tell everybody in between. Shout it out from the tops of the trees. Good times are here again. Come on, Chris. About a guy I knew, empty wallet but boy he could groove. He's not very well to do, but when it comes to rhythm he's a tycoon. So tell the bartender, tell the queen, tell everybody in between. Shout it out from the tops of the trees. Good times are here again.
tell them once and tell them again. Tell your enemies and tell your friends. Troubles there are about to end. Better days are just around the bend. So tell the bartender, tell the queen, tell everybody in between. Shout it out from the tops of the trees. Good times are here again on the radio. Good times are here again with Mano and the Mayor. Good times are here again.
Wow, I love it. What an appropriate song. Looking back at getting into the Roaring Twenties again, you know, I mean, people are seeing a turn. That's a great song. You know who would love that song?
Everybody.
Why, you know who you would like to play that song on January 20th? She talks about the golden years coming back, and
amen.
That's very up.
That
right?
is so wonderfully unique.
And that's cool to tell the bartender and tell the queen, right?
That is so wonderfully unique. That was
love
awesome.
Did you write that? Thank you. Or is that a song?
Yeah, we've been writing songs, I guess, since we met, and we've got a new album coming out sometime this winter. We're putting the last tweaks on it now.
I want to hear about that.
Are you performing around? We got to send her a break, but you guys could be performing in Northeast Wisconsin anywhere soon?
Yeah, we're going to be down in Oshkosh next Friday. If you go to thegentlemangrifters.com, our full schedule's on there, and Facebook, Instagram.
Okay, we got to send her a quick break. Stick around. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Got another tune we can hear in the next segment. Outstanding, the Gentleman Grifters Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series with Dennis from the Glam Band. This is fun.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here in the Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series with Dennis Peters from the Glam Band, the Gentlemen Grifters in the studio. That was pure fun music.
Optimism.
We were talking during the break, and I've done a bunch of bluegrass bashes back in the day with a friend of mine, and I tell you, there's the experience of being around folks that are just letting themselves go. There's nothing.
And there, you know what the cool
part is? There's
nothing
more pure about it, you know?
You guys seem to enjoy it. I mean, obviously, as the audience or whatever, but you guys really seem to enjoy playing this music. True?
Yep. Yeah, we wouldn't do it if we didn't.
Right. Yeah, good point. But, I mean, sometimes you go and you see a band, it's like, it's almost like, oh, I'm too cool for the room and I'm not here. And you guys just seem like this is coming from the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a big part of life.
Yeah, I mean, we write these songs and we love to share them with people. And, you know, music is just... music was makes the world go round.
But you don't
talk about that.
You talk about that, and you talk about chemistry. And Dennis, you've talked about this. We've off air, whatever. How hard it is sometimes to find that chemistry, because that does come through for the people watching, and you guys got it. And you can't just. I mean, that's not as easy of a thing as people think, is it, Dennis?
No, man. If you're not good, if you're not a good person, it's going to show sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know, it's better to find out sooner than later.
Right.
Before you put all that time invested in it, you know.
Yeah, death punch over here still scares me a little bit, though. But.
Choir boy.
I think we're going to wrestle before too long.
So where do you get your inspiration to write? I mean, where's that? Sit around or do you go away?
I kind of write songs that kind of in the old country tradition of, you know, portraits of people down on their luck, people that maybe are not having the best morals and making the best life decisions.
Who are your favorite songwriters?
My favorite songwriters?
You can say yourself. Just take the credit,
well,
man.
Mike Goodwin over here is definitely my favorite.
You just paid him $20 to say that.
Right.
You know, Towns Van Zandt and... the Kris Kristofferson, those people.
I go back to Tom T. Hall.
Nice.
I always thought he was a great songwriter. Mama Bake a Pie, Daddy Kill a Chicken is one of my all-time favorite songs. Do you know that song? It's a great song. It's
about
a wounded guy coming home from Vietnam.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's a great song. I mean, that's the lyrics of a good written song are so important. Aren't they, though?
And it's great when you can get into a spot where, you know, it's great to have people rock out and jam out, but there's those listening in room environments like at Mile of Music where people are really listening to the lyrics and stuff like that. That's super awesome when you get to be a part of that.
How many times have you played that Mile of Music?
We've been to, and you know, hopefully we'll be coming back to it.
That's fantastic. You should be. It's original. You guys are local talent.
You're perfect for that, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you guys are good. You write your own music. You're artists. You plan to go to Nashville. Where do you plan to take this?
Where do we put? Well,
global. Global.
Yeah, if somebody wants to give us a briefcase full of money, we're open to it. Yeah. But I don't know.
So
we're just having fun.
That's awesome, right?
It shows.
Yeah.
So tell us again where you're going to be playing before you play another song. I want people to be able to come out and see you.
Let me open up my schedule here.
You can do it!
We are going to be at Fifth Ward Brewing in Oshkosh next Friday, 6 p.m.
Awesome.
Well, speaking of, we were just
folks
thinking about the other day.
Oshkosh is awesome.
Thursday night at the Fifth Ward, they have vinyl night.
Yes.
We were talking about that yesterday. Yeah. If you haven't gone, folks, in Oshkosh, if you're listening in the Oshkosh area, check it out. It's beautiful. Bring a vinyl.
Bring your own.
Bring your own vinyl and you know, and fight somebody to get your record on.
But not vinyl pants, right?
Optional.
Yeah, depends on the time of day.
If you can play it.
They were big in Nagani. They were big in Nagani in 75. Just telling you. They might still be.
Great for static electricity, you know.
Give us another song. Tell us what this one's about. Who wrote it?
All right, I'm going to do this next one. Okay. This one's kind of a sea shanty. If you like to call them up in the UP, a lake shanty.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fair.
So it's called Hector Shore.
Oh, perfect.
Thanks for being here, guys. It's really awesome. Happy New Year to you.
Are you guys playing in this, too?
Yep.
Okay, so your mic is good. How's the mic, Dennis?
Couldn't tell you.
Leave it right there? Okay, good.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. I was out a fishing on a dark, stormy night. I ventured out too far from land and couldn't see the light. My mates were gone for far too long. I spiraled towards the floor. The mist broke clear and I found my way back to Hacker Shore. Mermaid approached in the haze and offered me her hand. She said that she'd give me safe passage back onto dry land. The clouds were thick, she played a trick upon my weary eyes. And at the time I thought I had in hand a mighty prize. Well, I've been out to sea on many other nights, but the waves had never been quite as bad as tonight. I held on to the rudder as I lay upon the floor. I never should have set a foot upon that Hacker Shore. Into her den so we could rest a bit. Now worried for my safety as the sea did foam and spit. Against my better judgment I said I'd stay for one more. The mist broke clear and I found my way back to Hacker Shore.
The Gentlemen Grifters.
Well, I've been out to sea on many other nights, but the waves had never been quite as bad as tonight. I held on to the rudder as I lay upon the floor. I never should have set a foot upon that Hacker Shore.
Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series, Gentlemen Grifters. They're going to be in Oshkosh. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.